even right now. So thank you for doing that. And this morning, we're going to dive into what is the first parable in the book of Luke. We've been going through the book of Luke now for, seems like, forever, right? And we've gotten to this point, and this is going to be the first parable. So what I want to do before we dive in and start into what this parable actually says, I want to give us a little groundwork for what is a parable and how we can look at parables. And this, I hope, as I talk about this, this will help you in your study. This will help while you read Scripture and while you actually encounter parables in your reading. I hope that this will help just a little bit. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but I just want to set some groundwork here of what a parable is and what it's not. Okay? A parable is basically a real-life story that teaches one central truth. And in case of the parables of Jesus, they're teaching a theological truth. And even further than that, they were teaching a new truth when Jesus taught them. Many of the rabbis in the day of Jesus would use parables to teach, but they were just teaching Scripture. They were teaching things that were already done. Jesus was actually using the parables to talk about truth about himself that had not been revealed to that point. So we have today's parable that Brandon read to us. It's about the sower. It's about a farmer. It's a real life story. It could have happened. And in fact, they could have been within seeing distance of a field. They may have even been watching a farmer sow seed. I mean, it wouldn't have been unlikely. Many of the people that sat and said there were multitudes here, it was very likely that many of the people standing before him had actually sown seed. Many of them probably had a field that they were farming. So it wasn't unusual. Everything in a parable is typically a real-life scenario that could have happened that is teaching one central truth. What a parable is not, okay? For decades and probably centuries, are the lights all the way up? Can we... Are they? Really? Okay. You're right. I'm on 17 of them. So, everything's going dark. No. So, the parables, where are we at? Yeah, they're not. Yes, this is the most important thing of this little five-minute talk. For centuries, many people interpreted the parables as being completely allegorical. And before you check out on that word, if I had an English teacher, Stephanie, come up here and tell us what allegory is. But allegory, and look, don't bash me afterwards about what this is. I'm just giving you a simple definition, okay? An allegory is something, a story, and every detail, every point actually has a transitional meaning in real life. So, Pilgrim's Progress. Every scenario, every detail, every person actually translates into something in real life. Now, the parables that we have of Jesus, some of them actually do, and Jesus outlines that here in just a minute. We'll talk about some of that. That some of the things in his story do translate into real life. This means this. But what they are not are they are not allegories, meaning that every single thing in a parable is, we don't have to worry about the details of every single thing translating over into real life. So when we talk about the seeds and the rocks and the everything else, we don't need to get bogged down in the details of a parable. We need to understand what Jesus is teaching. He's trying to bring out one central truth in these parables. And if we so get wrapped up into what every little thing means, we're going to miss the big context, okay? So as we study these, let's concentrate on what Jesus was talking about, not all the peripherals that we could get bogged down into, okay? And in your study at home, read it, you know, understand it, but realize that Jesus is trying to make a point and get to the point of what Jesus is making whenever you study a parable of Jesus, okay? Before we dig in even further, I want to point out a couple of things. I want to read to us the rest. I got Brandon to read the parable itself, and I'm going to read what followed in verse 9. I'm going to read verses 9 through 15 for us, okay? And his disciples began questioning him as to what this parable might be. And he said, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand," which is out of Isaiah chapter 6, if you want to be studious. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. And those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Okay. So, we have the four soils, but I want to point out two things before we get to the central idea of the text. One is the secret. I want to make sure we just don't glaze over it. But it says, it is to you, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. This parable is actually in all three of the synoptic gospels. So it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it is very similar. If you go read those other verses, they are very similar, but they do use a few different words. So mystery here in Luke is also secret in Matthew. But think about where we're at in history. Jesus has only recently come on the scene as a teacher. I mean, he's only just in the very beginning stages of his ministry. And so, you know, he's not saying that everything is a complete mystery, because over here in verse 17, "For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light." I mean, just a few passages later. So what Jesus is telling his disciples is, look, I'm teaching right now because I have not fully shown myself to the world. They have not known me fully, but that time's coming. Okay? Look, I'm teaching you right now, so because you're going to take over and you're going to make disciples of all the nations at some point. Right now, you hold this truth, not so that you can keep it a secret, but so that you can go and bring it to light at some point. Right now, Jesus is keeping it in parables because he hasn't been fully made known to the world. So, the other thing that is not mentioned here, and you may have caught it, you may not have, but when he went through and started saying the good soil this, the seed is this, the rocky soil, the roadside soil, all of that, what was something he did not mention? There's only a few things in the parable. Y'all can interact. This is good. Go. What is something he did not say what it meant? The sower. Okay. So, big part of the story, right? I mean, in fact, it starts with the sower. And he just, it's like he didn't think about that when he started to say, what is all of this mean? And they go, well, you just skipped over the sowing part. Who's the sower? Well, here's the truth. I mean, we've had from the beginning of time God giving his word. Right, I mean, he says the seed is the word. Oh, just my heart is still pounding. Okay, the word of God is the seed here in Luke. It's just called the word in Matthew. It's called the message in Mark. And you're going to hear me today. I'm going to do it. So just realize that when I say the gospel, I'm going to be talking about the word. I'm going to be talking about the seed, because here's the reality is God's word from the beginning of time has been telling the story of his redemption. And he is from the beginning of the Genesis to all the way to the end of Revelation has been leading his people to himself through Jesus Christ. And that is the word of God. That is the message. That is the gospel. And we use that word a lot around here, the gospel, but it's right here, okay? The gospel. That's what we're going to talk about as the seed. And so the sower in the beginning was God Almighty, the Father himself. He gave his word. He gave that to Moses, and Moses wrote it down, and we've had the story that he's given Israel all the way through. And then we have Jesus. Jesus is spreading his word. He's telling of himself. He's throwing seed out. He is scattering the gospel. And today we have John McCartney standing here throwing seed out every Sunday. He's sharing the word. And I hope, as many of you that are Christ followers in this room, I hope as you go out through your daily life that you are scattering seed, that your life is such that as you go on your way through your fields of work, that you are scattering the seed of the gospel. Imagine a field. And if you've ever seen pictures of what's happening in the middle, in this part of the world, it doesn't look like anything can grow, okay? It's like dry, rocky ground. I mean, it's not like going on in Louisiana where we just have fields of grass and this God country here. That's what some people think. I happen to be partial. But anyway, so it's not like here. It's dry, rocky ground. And the pathways, have you ever been to a college campus? Did somebody say no? I hadn't even finished this story. So, have you ever been to a college campus that decided they were going to be cool and they didn't lay down any concrete pathways? And they let people walk where they wanted to and then they laid the concrete? And makes for some unusual setting. You know, they're not always right next to the buildings and that kind of thing. What they do is they just level the landscape, and then as people make their paths, they'll go back, and that's where they'll put the concrete because that's where people normally travel. So the same thing similar here, in that there wasn't any concrete roads, there wasn't any just, you know, highways, byways, those kind of things. It's just the paths were where people walk, and sometimes they would be right smack dab through the middle of a field. I mean, maybe right smack dab in the middle of this man's garden. Okay, so when he was going to do seed, he wouldn't necessarily just take his time and, you know, worry about this little foot trail. I mean, he's just planting seed, right? I mean, he's got it in a bag over here and he's throwing it out by hand. He's just planting seed. He's not concerned with the small amount that's going to be on this little footpath that's going through his garden. And so where the seed falls is not his concern. So may it be in our life that's not our concern as to who we're sharing the gospel with, but that we are sharing the gospel. Now, three responses that we see here. Now, we're finally getting somewhere. I've been talking for 2.5 minutes, and now we're getting somewhere in this story. Okay, so the sower's throwing seed. Some of it lands on the rocky, or on the pathway. Some of it lands on the rocky soil, and some of it lands in the middle of thorns. The pathway, rock hard surface. Can't get into the ground. In fact, it just sits there unless the birds come and eat it. And Jesus says this is like being a hardened heart and being able, the devil coming and picking away before somebody can make a salvation, have a salvation experience. Hardened hearts. And here is a reality that I want us to make sure that we're aware of, in that all of these things that we see in this passage are not things that happen outside of these doors all the time. Hardened hearts are sitting in our churches today. There are people that have been sitting for even years in churches that have a hardened heart. So never think that you and I and the people around us are beyond having a hardened heart. He was right in the middle of this field, right next to the good soil, right next to where plants were growing. And so it is in real life today that hardened hearts are all around us. One truth of this is that doesn't mean that they're always going to be hardened. This is where the allegory stops, okay? This is where truth, real life. The next year when this sower goes to plant a seed, he's going to throw the seed back on the same spot. Soil may have changed, and so may the lives of the people around us have come to a point that they have changed. It may be a time that God has drawn them into himself. So we should never discount just because something didn't happen once doesn't mean that it won't happen again. And in fact, many, if we look at statistics, people that are coming to know the Lord say that they've encountered the gospel an average of 7 times before their heart has been softened. They have seen it in people's lives. They have heard it from people an average of 7 times before a response, before God has drawn them to himself. And so may we never stop sowing. So hardened hearts is one of the responses. And then the next one would be, I will call, head knowledge. The rocky soil. So here's what would happen in the planting time. These limestone rocks were everywhere. He couldn't get around it because they were just, it's just not the best place in the world to be growing stuff. So he's throwing out and his rocks. And these rocks, what would happen? Planting season was in October at the end of summer, and they would plant in October, plow over their fields, and leave this there, and it would come up in the spring. The seeds would germinate over in the end of winter, first of spring, and come up. But what would happen is, in the middle of winter, these rocks would store up heat, and the seeds that were in the rocky soil would actually germinate early. And they would come up and in the middle of winter because the rocks were warm. They were holding in the heat. But there was no soil there for the plants to actually grow. And it was the middle of winter. It wasn't going to stay. And so they would just fall away quickly. They would come up quickly and leave very quickly. We can liken that to someone who says, yes, Jesus Christ lived. Yes, Jesus Christ died on a cross. Yes, Jesus Christ rose again. All right, good. Let's go. For a long time in I'm going to say Baptist churches, we have so made this thing about what we know that there are many people sitting in our churches today that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, because it is not about how much I know or how little I know or how good I am. It's not about what I'm doing, but it's about who. It's about who. And it's about God Almighty, Jesus Christ, and relationship with him. It is not about this. I mean, the Bible says even the devil believes in Jesus. I mean, obviously the enemy knows who Jesus is, but that's not a salvation experience. We must get past the head knowledge and get to the root of the matter. We have to realize that it is not about this. Which leads to the third response. And the thorny soil. Now, this was actually in good soil. I mean, it was, if you'd look, everything would have been great. Everything would have been perfect. And in the middle, at the end of a long, dry summer, when they planted, there would not have been any thorns there. There probably wouldn't have been any plants. But come springtime, when the rain started coming and the weather was just warming up some, the thorns would have come back in places, and there would have been no way that the farmer, the sower, would have known where these places were. And so what would happen in what Jesus says here is they grew together, and they're fighting for the same nutrients. They're fighting for the same water. They're fighting for the same sunlight, and basically they would get choked out. And Jesus says three things that would choke out a person in his life: worries, riches, and pleasures of this life. Man, if there is something that is relevant to today, I mean, this was written 1900 and some odd years ago, whatever, and still extremely relevant to today. I mean, who do we know that doesn't have worries? And we all can see in our culture a strive for wealth. And even many of us struggle with trying to deal with the pleasures of this life. This is not foreign to us. We don't have to go and do, background studies on the Jewish culture. We don't have to worry about, what did he mean? Well, he meant worries, he meant wealth, and he meant pleasures of this world, okay? Those things right there will choke out anyone in this life. And if we're not careful, the people around us, we can look the same. Because what happened, this plant, this wheat, would come up and it would look like a regular plant. It would look great, but it wasn't getting everything it needed. It didn't have the deepest roots. It didn't have, and in fact, never would produce mature fruit. But it looked good. And so it is in our churches, that there are people that look good, but have never gotten to the point that fruit is bearing in their life. Three responses that we can see. Three responses that if you are spreading the gospel, that you will see. Okay? I'm not saying that you see them, because not all of us are sharing the gospel. Not all of us are living the gospel. Not all of us are doing that. If you are sowing the gospel, you will find hardened hearts, and you will find people that agree with you in their head but turn away and have no repentance in their life. You will have people that, like this second one, have head knowledge but never give anything to God. Never allow Him to be their Lord and Savior, and they take everything upon themselves, the worries of this world, the wealth of this world, the pleasures of this world. They're taking all of that on themselves instead of letting God be their Lord and Savior. All three of these, and let's not miss it, because I don't want you to be, I don't want your theology to change here. None of those three were ever saved, okay? Those three soils were not salvation experiences. They never got to the point where they came to the saving knowledge and saving faith that they have in Christ. All three of those were encountered the gospel, yet rejected it in different forms. One of them, the hardened heart, just rejected everything completely. One of them rejected it with their heart and their mind, and the other rejected it with no repentance whatsoever and didn't allow God to be Lord of their life. That is, they are not saved. the fourth soil we see is, we can call it a response, or I will just call it faith. And the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. See, this is the first time Jesus actually mentions the heart, because we have to get past head knowledge. We have to get to where Jesus is the Lord of our life. We can't just say we're saved because we know Jesus. We can't just say we're saved because I know the story. In fact, we can't just say we're saved because I believe the story. In Romans chapter 9, it says, you have to believe these things and confess with your mouth. Which confessing means putting yourself under Jesus Christ as Lord. The gospel is this. From Genesis to Revelation, God has always had a redemptive story, meaning that He has always wanted His people to follow Him, and He has always loved them, cherished them, and He has always, always, always wanted to make a way for you to have that relationship with Him. And in the middle of all of that, we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In the middle of all of that, we have turned our backs again. We have had hardened hearts. We have had head knowledge and yet have not given ourselves over to Him. We have let ourselves go to the pleasures of this world and the worries. And He has continually called out to His people from the beginning of time. He has sent forth His message, His word, His gospel, ultimately culminating with Jesus Christ coming to this world, in this life, dying a death that He did not deserve, rising again so that we could have a way that we didn't have to be under the weight of the law any longer, that we could have a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. It's not about what you do, what about you say. It's not about how much you know. It is about who you are in relationship with and who is your Father. God calls us heirs. That is unbelievable. I've had a hardened heart. I've had the head knowledge and turned my back. I've given myself over to the ways of this world. And yet He loves me so much that He calls me an heir to His throne. What? I mean, that doesn't make sense. I mean, even standing here today and in the middle of people that love Jesus, I cannot understand the love that my God has. The fact that He wants to call us sons, when all we've done is turned away from Him. And yet, He still calls. He says, I love you. You know, I love you. I've given my Son for you. Jesus, at the end of His little parable, it said, as He was teaching these things, He said, you who have ears, let him hear. Look, if you're here today, listen up. Jesus, and that's a term, a phrase that's used through Scripture. Jesus used it a lot. Hey, if you have ears, listen. Okay? Don't just hear it and go. Listen. Intently listen. He's not giving you stuff that's just, oh, that's a good story. Yeah, I like planting seed. Yeah, that's great. Okay, he told a story about planting seed. Let's go home now. You know, pastor gave us 3 points in a poem, so let's go home now. By the way, I do not have a poem. That's not going to happen. So, not today anyway. Maybe another day. But he wasn't given just a great story. He was giving a spiritual truth, telling us about himself. What other thing could he do that would have been greater than to tell of himself? This morning, the truth that Jesus taught in this parable is still true today. And the fact is, this morning, I hope that you have heard what God has done. The fact that from all eternity, God has wanted a relationship with you, and He has pursued you, and that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you so that you could have a way to Him. And right now, I feel like there are people in this room in four places. There are people in this room that have a hardened heart, and there are people that have head knowledge but have not given their lives to Christ. And there are people that are so wrapped up in this world that they are not even hearing what God did for them. But God said that they're in the good soil, that there was a hundredfold return. One seed made one stalk of grain that just had hundreds on it. I pray that there are people in this room that will allow themselves to hear, believe, repent, and confess God as their Lord and Savior. And may their life not stop there. May they go out and sow seeds so that others may hear the gospel and respond in the same way. That is the plan that God put forth. It's not James Douglas's plan. It's not John McCartney's plan. It's not North Hill's plan. It is the plan in which our Lord and Savior set forth for us. For us to sow seed as we go. May the gospel be so much a part of our lives that we are just living it, and people are seeing it and responding. And it is not our choice to where we will sow. It's not our call on how they will respond. That's not us. God, this morning, the words that you've given have not come easy. God, I pray that despite the way things have come out of my mouth this morning, that I pray that somebody has heard Jesus this morning. If there are people here, God, I pray that there's somebody here that needs you as Lord and Savior, and that has been drawn to you. And God, as they look to you as Lord and Savior, may they not leave this place without repenting, confessing you as Lord and Savior. God, may our church never take for granted what you've done for us. May we never quit throwing the seed of your word around. God, despite the hardened hearts, despite those that turn from you and give themselves to worldly things, God, I pray that we will never be discouraged. We will always look to you. And if there's somebody here this morning that is discouraged, God, I pray that you will pick them up. Remind them of what you've done for them. Right now, as we sing, we give you all praise, honor, and glory. We thank you and are in awe the fact that you even allow us to respond to your gospel. God, as we sing, may you be lifted high. In your son's name we pray.